You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Mark Stein of ESPN is reporting that Joe Dumars could be a candidate for the head position in the Hawks front office. I'm not really sure what to call that position. I don't know if that's going to be a general manager. I don't know if that's going to be a president. So just for the sake of this conversation, I'm just going to go with general manager because I think that's my guess is what it's going to be, but it really could be either. It's mostly just title. The big thing of interest is who is in charge of the front office, and that's the position we're talking about. Let's start with the wording of this report. It's that league sources say Joe Dumars and David Griffin are expected to emerge as candidates in the Hawks search for a new lead front office voice. Sources say expected to emerge as candidates? Like, that's kind of weak. When a job like this comes open, it's open season for agents to push their clients, to make it seem like their clients are legitimate candidates. Now, some reporters like Stein have the sources, are well-connected enough to check in with somebody in Atlanta. Maybe nobody in the Hawks organization will tell him who the candidates are, but maybe somebody will confirm it. If you get it from the candidate or his agent or somebody from that side, sometimes teams will confirm it even if they won't tell you outright. That way they can also deny it credibly if you hear somebody who isn't. So sometimes it gets that crossed that way. Sometimes it's really just the potential GM or his agent or somebody from his side putting his name out there and trying to influence the Hawks into doing it. Now, there was talk, I believe, the Hawks will use a search firm. So names they could be talking to, it could be so broad and have no real bearing on who might get hired. But on paper, Dumars makes sense because I think the Hawks are in a unique situation where they'll have trouble having a wide pool of candidates. They can't hire just anybody easily, at least without complication. The other name that has come up, also reported by Mark Stein, is Troy Weaver, a Thunder assistant general manager. And I think Weaver is good. I think he should become a general manager at some point in this league. I think he's done everything he can as an assistant GM. I think there's a good track record of people from the Oklahoma City front office moving up and doing well. You know, not that they're not being carried along by Sam Presti, that Sam Presti has instead done a good job of identifying people who can do a good job getting what he can from them and allowing them to move on. So I think that Troy Weaver would do a good job overall, but maybe not with the Hawks. And there's a reason that Dumars would, and also David Griffin would, who's the current general manager of the Cavaliers, but doesn't have a contract for next season. He could be a little bit of a free agent. The Cavs might not want to pay to keep him. It's not clear whether he's eye-to-eye with Cavs owner Dan Gilbert. So his name has come up in Atlanta and also with the Magic. What Dumars and Griffin have on Weaver is they've been general managers before. The Hawks didn't fire their general manager. They demoted him, and they demoted the guy above him. So the way the Hawks were set up previously, Mike Budenholzer was the president coach, and he became the president coach because he was around when Danny Ferry said some racist things about Lou Alding. And we're not going to get into whether Danny Ferry's a racist or what he meant. He said racist things that had to be dealt with. The Hawks dealt with it in the most long, drawn-out way possible, and they needed somebody else to come in. Budenholzer was there, had been a good coach, not a good enough coach to get this job, but had been a good coach, and they gave him this title of president coach, probably a little bit over his head. They'd also made their general manager Wes Wilcox. Now they demoted Budenholzer, made him just the head coach, and Wes Wilcox now has a lesser title, still in the front office, no longer general manager. Hiring Troy Weaver would be tough because he's never led a front office. Like, you're asking two people who have held clear above him positions in the front office to now answer to him. That might work, that might not. You know, for me, if I were the Hawks, I'd just fire Wes Wilcox if that's going to be a problem for him. Like, if you think Troy Weaver's the best guy, you don't need Wes Wilcox around. You can find somebody else to support him, to have a lesser role in the front office. It gets a little more complex with Budenholzer because he's been the president, and I don't think you want to lose him as a coach. He's done a good job as a coach. So the Hawks are in this weird spot where somebody like Dumars, who not only has been a general manager, but has led a team to a championship, you have him there as a potential candidate. Maybe this is the spot for him. Maybe this is where he could work. Now, how is he in line for this job? What's his connection? We've talked more about him going to the Pelicans because he's been a longtime friend of Mickey Loomis, who technically runs the Pelicans, is more of a football guy in charge of the Saints, but the Paints and Pelicans and Saints have the same owner. And so the Loomis connection always has Dumars in Pelicans rumors, and we've discussed those before here. And you know, Dell Demps has not done a great job in New Orleans, and that's even with pulling off a heist to trade for DeMarcus Cousins. Part of the reason taking that risk made sense for the Pelicans is because the rest of their supporting cast around Anthony Davis was so lousy that, yeah, taking a swing on Cousins, who's so talented but just a real mercurial talent, made sense. Because what's the downside? You're going to stink anyway. At least this way there's a higher upside. So that's Dumars' connection with the Pelicans. His connection with the Hawks, I want to talk more about that. But first, we're going to talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I used it just the other day to look at Tigers tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is graded based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons today. So the Hawks were recently sold to a new ownership group led by Tony Ressler, but also including Grant Hill. Grant Hill and Dumars, of course, played together with the Pistons. Dumars really mentored Hill when Hill first came into the league. The Pistons drafted Grant Hill number 3. He came in with huge expectations coming out of Duke. But he was a young player, and Dumars was his vet. He was the veteran on the team. He was the bad boy who stuck around a lot longer, kept playing through the Teal era, and developed this real bond with Grant Hill. Grant Hill became one of the true professionals in the league, somebody well-respected by everybody who just went about things the right way, took care of his business, obviously had terrible injury luck with his career, but still lasted a really long time in the NBA, carved a long role because he did things the way Joe Dumars helped teach him to do things. And I don't know if he needed Joe Dumars, like if he couldn't have figured this out from somebody else or on his own. Because, you know, look, his dad played in the NFL. He was familiar with professional sports and how to operate and how to carry himself in this environment. But Dumars helped. Dumars was the person who was there. And Dumars is an all-time great at professionalism. So for Hill, I think he's always looked back on that era and was really glad Dumars was still around and able to help guide him. Now, there was a limit on that because when Dumars became the Pistons general manager, Grant Hill left. He went to Orlando, signed with the Magic. There was a thought that, you know, maybe he wouldn't leave Joe Dumars, that they had built up such a rapport. He still did. So there's obviously a limit to this connection, but I do think the connection, best I can tell, is real. And that could get Dumars in the door. And that's what I think Dumars deserves. I think he deserves a step in the door. That he did such a great job in assembling the 04 championship team. he deserves interviews. I'd be curious what he could bring to a team if I had a GM opening. I'm not sure I'd hire him because he was so bad in his later years. It seemed like the league changed around him and he didn't. The league moved toward analytics and he maybe didn't. The league still emphasized defense, but he got in his head that it all had to be about offense. Where really, if you look at, you know, what made the Warriors so good is their defense. Their shooting gets a lot of attention, but it's defense. I still think it's about defense in a lot of ways. And Dumars just sort of lost sight of some things, made some really bad moves. And so I'd be curious why. Like, there were some other factors. Bill Davidson died. Like, I'm not saying it was all on him, but I'd want to know how much. I'd want to know how he views that era, what he would change, what maybe extenuating circumstances there were. I'd want to know more because he was so good in assembling that championship team and really keeping that era going. The Pistons won 50 games. They had a streak of 50-win seasons where they completely turned over their roster from the first season of the streak to the last season. That's incredible. Everybody talks about how you can't rebuild on the fly. You have to pick a direction. You either have to get, you know, really bad and tank, or that, and then you have to go all in. And I think there's some truth that I think it can be easier to do that. But Dumars defy the odds. I think it's one of the most underrated feats in NBA history to have a streak of 50-win seasons while completely turning over the roster. Now, Dumars tried to build a winner again while remaining competitive, and he failed. So he tried really two really hard things. He succeeded once. He failed once. That's somebody I might want as my GM. I'd want to know more. So I hope he gets an interview in Atlanta. He is an all-time great Piston. Personally, you know, I wish him all the best. I hope it works. I think Atlanta could be a good place for him if he wants to get back into being a general manager. I think it's clear, like, he can't come back to Detroit. He already had his run here. I don't think he can work with Tom Gores. Just the way both of them operate, I don't think is a fit. Is it a fit with Tony Ressler? I don't know, but Grant Hill could provide some perspective to both of them and figure out if they could be a good working tandem and, you know, take it from there. So I do hope Dumars gets this opportunity. We'll keep an eye on that and everything going on more directly with the Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is David Locke, founder of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks so much for tuning in to your favorite Locked On podcast. We have something really special going on here. We are the only daily local podcast format in the country, and we are one of the only places for local companies to be able to advertise on a podcast serving the fans, the listeners that want your product locally. No other podcast network does this for you. And that's why we want you to advertise right here on your favorite Locked On podcast. Our audience is 98% male. It's about 77% between the ages of 25 and 54, and also 77% between 18 and 44. So you're hitting the core demographic. If your company wants men 25 to 54 or 18 to 44, then you should advertise right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'd love to have you. Our rates are reasonable. It's all based on the amount of listens. So you can email me, David Locke, at dlock09@gmail.com, or contact your host. We'd love to have you aboard, joining in with the great success that we're having on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.